Hello, everyone.
Love
this is
Talk
Sally
Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Sally Alcorti, and welcome to Public Advocate. I am running for Public Advocate to ban vaccines in 2013. Today, we have a guest all the way from Australia, and I cannot wait for her to call in. Her name is Karen Johnston. She had expected to be on my show earlier today, but we had I have another show called Ban Vaccines 2013, which is strictly a Skype show. So she thought there was a phone number involved, but that is not the situation. So she knows when she calls in what in the world is going on. But anyway, this is a call-in show, and I hope she does, in fact, call in a few minutes. I'm going to put the phone down right now and let her know that we're live. Okay, so welcome, everybody. I had a very important show today with a woman who was speaking about aspartame and the incredible detrimental effects, including Parkinson's. This is something that I did not know, let us all contact Michael J. Fox immediately. Here's a young man I genuinely care about. He's given me so many hours of pleasure and joy that to think that eliminating aspartame from his diet would change the outcome. Isn't that exciting? My mother-in-law died from, I'm assuming she died from Parkinson's. She was racked with pain from it for a really long time. The most horrid disease, I would have to say, especially when you get it in your middle age. This is nothing at all funny about Parkinson's. And the younger you get it, I understand, the more severe it is. Now, it would make sense that it would be more severe because you'll have it for a longer time, but no, it's just severe immediately. So when I heard Michael J. Fox had Parkinson's, I literally cried. I literally cried. So I have to take a moment now and try to contact my guest because she keeps communicating with me on Facebook, and now she's telling me about her Skype name. No, dear, that was the last show. Oh, dear. She's a wonderful woman. I really hope we get together here. Not completely sure that we will, but I certainly hope we do. Let me send her the phone number. Bear with me. I'm so sorry to it's all very last minute, but hours have gone by since we communicated, and here we go. I believe country code is 001, and phone number is this. We are on the air, if you will call in. So I'm eager to hear her story. Everybody who is active with regard to preventing other people from taking vaccines, it is mostly from firsthand experience. Now, there's the odd person, and I say this lovingly, odd in a great way, of people who understand what's going on and see it as the greatest catharsis in the whole wide world without having had direct experience. I have had direct experience, but I didn't know it. I didn't know my sister, who was severely mentally retarded, was taken down by a vaccine. And my mother didn't figure it out till I was 50 years old. And had my sister lived, she would have been 58 years old. But there is so much disinformation surrounding this that all I can say is, they don't want you to know. And the people who could help you, the people who could inform you, there's kind of like a veil of silence or a complete shutdown on what people are allowed to say. And I don't care which end of what profession you're in, short of an architect, okay? Architects don't seem to be sinister people, and I say that because we're talking the legal profession, the medical profession, they're covering for one another, and we've seen this time and again, especially as it pertains to shaken baby syndrome. Now, I had an interview with Christina England and a woman that she had interviewed and written an article about, which went viral, about the parents of baby A. I interviewed them, and I've been very concerned about the outcome of their trial since, and I have had no word about how this went. So I literally am unsure. I wish I could give you more than that. I will say at this moment, I am just unsure, but these are two parents whose child was given a huge number of inoculations at 5 months of age. And this is, of course, criminal, but nobody, you know, the real crimes, the genuine bona fide crimes are being covered up or being given a pass. And in fact, this young couple who has lost their beloved baby, they may be the ones going to jail. You know, there's only so much of all this one can take. All the atrocities. Where does it end? When do parents finally get justice? Justice in the form of a living child. Justice in the form of a healthy child. Justice in the form of not going to jail when it's the pharmaceutical and medical industries that have killed your child. So there's just the injustices are vast. Justice in the form of compensation. That's a very bleak justice, but it is at least one level of justice. So justice in the form of not being broke all the time. Justice in the form of not losing your home as a result of all the expenses you incur once you have a disabled child. Justice in the form of your marriage not breaking up due to the stress of this overwhelming burden. So where does it end is the question. It has to end this year. I'm saying ban vaccines 2013 because all of these injustices must be righted. And I can't say the ones that have already transpired ever will be. But we can start today, not creating more catastrophes by banning vaccines this year, no longer. We know the ingredients are poisonous. We know the diseases that result are all diseases in internal medicine. And we know that the intent is to cause harm. There's nothing left to find. And we have to ban them. You know, I guess the people who've done all this to children all over the world, they don't want to, you know, they don't want justice to come down on them. Most assuredly, they don't want that. But I'm just trying to prevent one more child from falling as a result. That's my whole purpose, prevention. Our quote is, intellectuals solve problems. Intellectuals solve problems, geniuses prevent them. Ban vaccines 2013. That's what I want to do. Now let's see. Oh, my friend is trying to call in. Good for her. I'm so happy. I'm very eager to speak with her. We had a miscommunication or a lack of communication. I don't know what happened, but I didn't get to interview Karen Johnston earlier today, and her daughter was available, and she very much wanted to have her daughter present for the earlier interview. She's trying right now to get in, and I really hope she makes it, because we'll have a nice long time to talk if she does get in. But she is very active in terms of trying to educate people about the perils of vaccination. And she is from Australia. I have heard somebody, I'm trying to remember where I heard this or from whom, but they really went out of their way to say that Australia is choking its citizenry on every level. I know who I heard this from, Scott Pitts of the National Health Federation. He was saying that their government should be ashamed of the record they're setting in terms of he works in regarding food and food safety and things of that nature. But I have heard likewise in regard to vaccination. So I don't know what's going on in Australia. I know it could scarcely get worse than what is transpiring here in the United States. We are number 68 in day of birth survival, the USA, and we give the most vaccines. We are... So they will, of course, nothing can be linked to a vaccine, but the fact that children are popping out and we're shooting them right away, all I can say is I have heard, you know, get a religious exemption before you go to the hospital. But what happens is these people are lying to us. They're deceiving us. They're inoculating our children when we're not looking. You know, do you have 14 people to stand guard no matter what happens, you know, or at least one? Don't have a baby unless you do, because you will have no control over what they do to that baby. And I am so concerned for children, I don't have words to express. 49 doses of 14 vaccines through the age of 5. I had a party last night, great big party. It must have been 200, maybe 250 people there. And it was to celebrate the 100th anniversary of my family's business. And we are in the stone construction business. And believe me, it's been very tough. This economy has been, like, unbelievably difficult. But we held on, and we are here for our 100th anniversary, and I'm thrilled to report that. However, everybody was saying to me, well, what do you do with the business? I said, absolutely nothing. I can take credit for absolutely nothing over the past 5 years because I realized what vaccines were doing to our children, and I literally walked away and did not look back because I can do nothing but try to stop this travesty. Whatever falls around me, I just cannot think about anything other than stopping the vaccination of our children. So at one point, several years ago at this point, my husband had a convention to go to, and I was thrilled because I never get a vacation, so this was a vacation for me. And we went to San Diego, and I've always wanted to go to San Diego. So I love the beach, and we were on the beach, and we're looking up at the stars. And, you know, here's where I wanted to be. I'm finally there, and when I look up at the stars, all I can see is that many children will be vaccine injured by tomorrow. That's what I see. I see thousands, millions of stars, and they just represent all the children who are fine today but will be vaccine injured tomorrow. And it's that rampant. It's that big. Not less. Really mean it. Seriously. So I'm consumed with it because it's something one should most assuredly be consumed by. If you're not thinking about this, you don't know about it, period. So I talked to each and every person in the room last night and had to admit that I had done nothing to contribute to my family business and that we're just lucky to be alive, okay? And this was not the celebration remarks they were expecting from me. And I said, all I care about is stopping vaccines and saving children. So each and every person I talked to had a member of their family vaccine injured. It was crazy. I mean, it really was crazy. So I left there thinking, if everybody knows this, why do I only possibly have one recruit at the end of the night to help me stop it? There was one lady who said, no, I will help you. And I'm like, oh, thank you, madam. I am so pleased to meet you. But at the end of the night, you have to say to yourself, why is only one person who said, I will help you? Everybody should have said, I will help you. There's no future. We have no future if we attack our babies. And I hope my friend Karen calls in. I set up the show very last minute because I had disappointed her earlier. So I really hope she calls in. But so that was it. Everybody said, oh, it was a great party. It was a great big success. Oh, it was wonderful, wonderful. I'm like, well, I guess if I got one recruit out of 250, and quite frankly, that one recruit hasn't called, you know? I'm saying all hands on deck. My blog, Billion Toddler March for Survival, has 20 actions you can take today. If you only take the first action, you will have done your part. Believe me when I say, if everybody took that first action, it would be incredible. And that is basically to download the legislation, all ban vaccines 2013, which lists the ingredients, the diseases, and the intent. That's all it is. And give it to your legislators. And hand it to every single parent you know and say to them, give this to your, you know, read it, understand what's happening, and then give it to your legislators. If we could just pass this extremely significant document from person to person, as I do every single day, we could stop it. So I just was on Manhattan Neighborhood Network, which is a public access cable show, and the people there are very, very good to me. When there is something seriously important, they will give me more, lots of airtime. And it's not just that network, but others as well. They understand that I have a very serious agenda, and my agenda is to save babies, you know. So I'm doing everything I can in every way I can think of to educate people. You know, it's been a very long and arduous process, but I believe that we will prevail out of necessity. People will say, this child was normal. Now he's brain damaged and paralyzed, and vaccines are the cause of that. So, or this child was healthy and happy, and now it's dead, and vaccines were the cause of that. What exactly does it take to get people to mobilize? What exactly does it take for people to understand that poison kills, and we cannot even consider it, no matter what we're being told? No matter what fallacies have been put before us, it is incumbent upon us to say, nope, that didn't sit with me. Nope, nope, nope. So this is what I'm looking for, people to say, no, that doesn't sit with me, and take action. So the people who are best aware of what's transpiring are, you know, oh, here she goes. Okay, I'm trying many steps. They aren't accepting your phone number. Oh, great. Oh, Lord. The operator said, leave a phone number. I might try dialing direct. Of course it's dialing direct. Oh, Lord. Of course. Dial direct. Boy, I don't know how many. Oh, gosh. Well, there is a number missing. Oh, gosh. I think I'm just going to. Something is missing from the phone number. Okay, let's see what's missing from the phone number. Nope, there's nothing missing. Okay, maybe it's the country code. Country code. Code 001. And phone number. This. Okay, let's see if she's. I don't know what's going on. Well, I may or may not have an interview today with Karen Johnston. There's nothing left for me to tell her at this point. So, oh, this is a shame. She's very cold check. She's very interested in stopping the madness. And I want as many, I want to give a voice to as many people who understand as what is happening as can be. You know, I am not a lone voice in the wilderness. There are many people speaking. Unfortunately, the people who are speaking are the most tied up because most of them have vaccine-injured children. So this is the dilemma the people who know to take action from firsthand experience, who live it every day, don't also have the time, the luxury of time to take action, you know? So if I can at least get their voice heard, you know, I can take it from there. I can deliver their voice. I can share their voice. I can share their story. And I'm thrilled to do it. I can't tell you how many parents of vaccine-injured children I've interviewed. And, you know, there's no shortage of them. Lord knows I could be on the phone 24 hours a day with, if there were 6 million hours a day, I could be on the phone 6 million hours a day interviewing parents of vaccine-injured children. This is the tragedy of it all, and this is why we must stop it. So I will give her. So, okay, she says, I have tried this several times, but it won't connect. I can't ring her, poor dear. I cannot call you. Okay. Well, this is not a comedy of errors, but it's also not a tragedy of errors. We will eventually get together, and she will share her story, the reason that she has become actively involved in raising awareness among other people. Now, we have had an effect. We really have had an effect. And people at least are stopping and researching now, because there's a very famous quote that says, I'm not going to share it with you because I'm going to screw it up. But basically, you cannot, you know, you have the freedom of choice, but you cannot escape the consequence for the choice that you make. This is why I'm trying to ban them. I don't want people to have a choice between poison or no poison, because it's never presented that way. It is not presented as, would you like a life-stealing vaccine? No, it's presented as, would you like a life-saving vaccine? Hence the deception. Well, there's somebody at the door. This ought to be interesting. Who is it? Hi, dear. I'm in the middle of a radio show, and I will now stop and pick you up. Yes, dear. I'm in the middle of a radio show, sorry. Okay, so. All right, well, the show is almost over unless she calls in the next 7 minutes. If she does call in, we'll have an additional 15 minutes. But after the half-hour mark, she can't call in at all. So I'm hoping to hear from Karen Johnston. And if I don't, I will interview her next week. No big deal. Okay. Okay, so this has been kind of a crazy day. I just got interrupted, so I lost my train of thought. Please forgive me. And I just said to Karen, I will interview you another time. The show is almost over, and that is a shame, because I had disappointed her earlier today, and I could not have interviewed her later than 7 o'clock my time, which is about in 5 minutes, it'll be 7 o'clock, and that would have been, so it's the last interview of the day that I could conduct. And unfortunately, many hours went by between the time I was supposed to interview her and now. So things like this happen, you know, and all we can do is try our best. And she's, yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much, my listeners, for tuning in. Please visit my blog, which is billiontoddlermarchforsurvival.blogspot.com. and I'm running for New York City Public Advocate, hence the name of the show, Public Advocate. But it doesn't matter whether I, you know, run or not. I speak out and often and hope that you likewise will speak out and often to protect children. There are so many threats to children, it's almost unbelievable. And I really must interview Kathy Sinnott, former parliamentary member of the EU for Ireland, because she is working diligently at trying to save children from confiscation via the Convention on the Rights of the Child. So I will also put an interview with Dr. Carley about Obamacare underneath this screen. It's an interview that everyone must listen to. It's essential listening, if you will. Okay. Well, maybe she's calling back now. Okay. Okay, go. Okay, I just said go now. Maybe she's... Okay, the country code was different. It was 00111. Okay, maybe from Australia, the country code is 00111. What can I say? I have no idea. Oh, she said she got through? Did she get through? Yes, she got through. Oh, my God.
You're in.
Karen. Oh, I cannot believe this. This has been so hair-raising. I'm thrilled to hear
you. Oh, I can't believe it either.
I almost hung up. I was just about to say, I give up, because literally in one more minute, you would not have been able to access the show.
I know.
So, I know, right? Has this been the most hair-raising day? Okay, Karen, please tell your story. You have precisely 3 plus 15, 18 minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, thanks for having me on your show. Yes. So now we know that dialing into state isn't as easy as dialing into country isn't as easy as you think. But anyway, yes, I first got interested in this 20 years ago when my daughter was paralyzed after a Hep B shot, and I had previously been teaching the wonders of vaccines to high school kids. So, and I vaccinated my daughter against my husband's wishes. So when she was had such a dramatic reaction when she was 4 months old, I had to reevaluate everything. And we did cure her with homeopathic thuja, and she regained her movement after about a week. But we thought, and we stopped vaccinating, of course, and then we thought we'd sort of find out about vaccines. And so we travelled the country visiting people like Dr. Vera Scheibner and Dr. Archie Kalkarinas and people like that have sort of done the research, and we learned a lot. Yes. You still there? Hello?
Yes, I am. Yes, hi. Can you hear me? Hi there.
I can, just vaguely.
Hi there.
Okay.
You keep talking. We can hear you beautifully. So you keep going, Karen.
Oh, okay. Okay. So initially I started my research to try to prove that I was right to vaccinate my daughter. But I soon learnt that sort of all vaccines are very dangerous and counterproductive, that they don't do anything other than reintroduce the disease into the community, that there's not one shred of evidence. And I've been looking intently for 20 years now, and there isn't one shred of evidence that a vaccine has actually prevented a disease. And, okay, and my daughter's health was incredibly obvious to everyone. Even her teachers commented about how incredibly healthy she looked, like bright-eyed and everything compared to all the other kids. And she even slept in the same bed as sort of friends of hers when she was very young that had, you know, dreadful lung infections. And she didn't get anything. Like she was incredibly healthy all of her life. She's now 20, well, nearly 20. And, So once I finally learnt the truth, I sort of thought, well, you know, like, let's try to educate people. You know, that's sort of, like, if people were to have a look at the at the statistics, at the, you know, at the graphs of sort of when diseases were prevalent and when the vaccines were introduced, if they look at the ingredients, they might think twice. So I thought I'd start off with famous people. So I sent information to people like David Suzuki, people like Anita Roddick, who was the head of the Body Shop, people like Patch Adams, people like Prince Charles. And I got a mixed reaction from sort of those people, for example. Like from Prince Charles, he said he totally agreed, but that he had no power. That was an interesting letter. From David Suzuki, he said it would send it on to his publicist, and about a couple of months later, he did an advertisement for a malaria vaccine, so obviously he didn't look at any of it. Anita Roddick sent it back to me unread. I had it back within a week of sending it, so it was just put back in the mail saying, this is of more interest to you than to me. But the only person who took it on was Patch Adams. He was amazing. The person you see in the movie is an actual real person who is very much against vaccines, and he runs a brilliant alternative therapy clinic, which sort of includes all the information I've sent him. So that was one person I didn't regret. So then I thought, well, let's educate the community. So I sort of madly did letterbox dropping and gave library donations and visited schools, visited principals, handed out information outside of schools to vaccines that were going to be given out there, put posters and stickers up all over everywhere I went. Like, you know, every town I visited, I'd put little stickers. I had little stickers with phone numbers and things right next door to the phone, so people had phone numbers to ring in baby change tables and things like that. And I've found that with everything I've given out and with everything I've researched, the things that have been the most effective without any shadow of a doubt and the most succinct and that could actually educate people that have no idea at all is things that Bronwyn Hancock has given out. She's been amazing. She runs a network in Australia called VIS, Vaccination Information Service, and together with me, we invented this incredible pamphlet that says each week millions of children are poisoned, thousands fatally, and it's just a simple little A4 pamphlet that for the first half of it, it just talks about the ingredients, the side effects and the contraindications before it's even mentioned the word vaccines, because that's what I've found through sort of trying to educate people is that when they read the word vaccines, they think they know it all, like I thought I know it all, knew it all, and they don't read any further. But when they've actually read the ingredients, they've read the side effects that it can do, like the effects of the vaccines, they actually they listen, and this is a pamphlet that I now give out at schools and letterbox dropping and to, you know, pregnant mums and to every situation I possibly can. And Bronwyn Hancock has them available from her website. I'll give you her website.
Yes, please.
Okay. Yes, it's www.vaccination, VACCINATION.inoz.com. Now, she also made, about 20 years ago, this brilliant DVD called Vaccination, the Hidden Truth. Now, what's unusual about this is it's also aimed at the person who has never done any research at all, right? It just goes really basic, step by step by step.
It's one of my favorites. Karen,
yes.
You can hear me. One of my favorite videos. I share it very frequently, and I will post it directly underneath the screen for this radio show, along with the website that you told me. If you could send that to me on Facebook, and I'll transpose that. But yes, thank you very much for bringing up this video. And Vera Scheibner, Dr. Scheibner, is in this.
Yeah, well, Dr. Scheibner's on it. Yeah, well, I've got to know her personally because of this. And, we've visited each other's places and things, and I've sort of seen her incredible research. And she's on this video. And Bronwyn made the video, and she's the narrator of the video. So you can look at the video and you can see, oh, that's Bronwyn who's done all this work. She sort of does she sort of does all the research for Dr. Vera for all the court cases and things. And she also made, I mean, she's made a lot of things, and a lot of people have made a lot of things, but those two, like the vaccination, the hidden truth, and the pamphlet, Each Week Means for Children a Poison, just with those two is enough to educate people hugely, hugely. And so what I've done is I actually made myself a little business card. Now, this has made all the difference in the world. I designed it myself. It's just, healthy families naturally. I just put my first name, a phone number, and then Bronwyn's website. And I just hand that over. And when I'm donating things or when I'm visiting principals, and you look official and you, and they take you seriously just because you've had a business card. Now, I even had a library because I was donating the Hidden Truth video to libraries. And I even had a library say, look, normally we don't accept anti-vaccination stuff, but we're only accepting this because you've got a business card, which was quite amazing, really.
Yes, good.
Yeah, so I just sort of think that if everyone that is passionate about this and wants to educate the public, because the problem is that 99% of the public, you know, especially here in Australia, think they know it all about vaccines and they won't look at anything. But if everyone was to just get a little business card that, you know, doesn't say the word vaccines on it, you know, so they don't get put off straight away, just healthy families or something to that effect, that they can hand over when they sort of talk to people like principals. Do you have vaccines given out at schools in America?
Well, I was just told by the Autism Action Network that we should expect soon, in New York at least, vaccination clinics permanent in the schools.
Oh, that's so disgusting. But, they give them out at school in Australia with only a couple of days' notice, so they don't give you much time to sort of do some research. So that's what I've been doing, is sort of visiting the principals, handing them my card, giving them some information, you know, lending them the video. Like, we actually had the way I started with the school-based campaign was about 10 years ago when they had the meningococcal vaccine being given out to every child from sort of kindergarten right through to year 12, given out at school. And so I prepared stuff specifically for meningococcal with the help of Dr. Vera Scheibner and Bronwyn Hancock and Kathy Scarborough, who runs another network here called Visa. And with their help, I was able to sort of, you know, prepare a really professional speech. And I went and I started to visit schools then. And I found that two of our local schools actually postponed the vaccine for 3 months, sent information home from Dr. Peter Baratozzi, and actually had Dr. Vera come to their schools to talk to the PNC meeting and had public viewings of the vaccination, the Hidden Truth video, which was unprecedented, really. And, and it had a wonderful effect. It was great to have that happen in our communities, and that could probably happen with over there as well. I know they're supposedly mandated, aren't they, vaccines in America?
No, they're not mandated. This is they allow you to believe they are, but in fact they're not, unless you live in West Virginia or in Mississippi and you want your child to attend school, and soon in Oregon and California. But you have the option of homeschooling still. So
yes, but not everyone can homeschool, though.
I'm telling people to certainly seriously look into. I know my children would have absolutely hated me for homeschooling them, but you know what? Sometimes it's time to be the parent, you know? Sometimes it's,
yeah,
it's
but
time
I,
to be the unpopular one.
Yeah, I know, but not everyone is in the position to homeschool. Not everyone is sort of a confident teacher.
But you have to say, if I have to diminish my lifestyle, if I have to move to smaller quarters, and
yes,
so that we can live on one income instead of two, then that's what I'm going to do, because under no circumstance will I ever inoculate a child of mine or myself,
oh, absolutely,
for that matter.
Absolutely.
Right.
But what I did find was sort of an opportunity to educate the educators, right? So right from preschool, right from the very beginning, you know, as soon as they mentioned the word vaccines, I would give them some information. And I found that it worked, like sort of all the way through, from sort of preschool right through to when she finished year 12. She, the teachers, every teacher she had, every relief teacher she had, every principal, every secretary, I sort of sat with them and chatted to them and sort of gave them information. And I found that in all cases, they actually were sort of quite amazed that they'd, like initially that they had observed vaccine damage firsthand, but didn't realise that's what they had observed, and they were very interested. And actually, at her primary school, they had date of last tetanus removed from the application form, because so I found that sort of rather than just giving up, if people could just present the information to the principals, to the secretaries, to the teachers. Even if it's just in form of lending them the DVD, or even if it's just that pamphlet from Bronwyn's, or I mean, there's a lot of information out there, of course, and they could just present some information, you know, in a sort of unemotional, professional sort of way that people will listen, and that's sort of what I chose to do, you know. Even though I used to be a teacher myself, I didn't really want to homeschool my only child. I sort of thought, you know, it's I'd sort of educate the places she was going to and all the other local schools, and I didn't find, and I actually found that in every case, in every single case, the principal was grateful. In one case they said, look, I'm too scared to even bring this up with my deputy, can I take it home to show my wife? In another case, I was handing out information to parents outside of the school, and the principal came up to me and whispered in my ear, look, thank you so much. I am so grateful you were doing this, but I can't be seen talking to you. Another principal waited behind and said, look, I just wanted to observe what you were doing just to make sure, even though I believe in vaccines, I believe that every parent has a right to an informed choice, and I just want to make sure that you were very professional, you know, and you certainly were. I was most impressed. You know, you didn't force it on anyone, and you were polite and professional, and that's achieved so much in our community. And if people could do that, you know, all over the world, just try to educate, like, you know, forget about bureaucracy, and, you know, forget about famous people, and forget about, you know, the government, but just aim it at the people, actually getting the vaccines, at the public, just putting little stickers of sort of, do you have any concerns about vaccines, with a phone number and a website to look up, just on a little sticker next to a phone, or in a baby change table, or behind toilet doors. I'm still getting phone calls from ones I put up 10 years ago. And if you approach it sort of unemotionally and professionally, just sort of, you know, do you have any concerns, or, you know, that sort of thing. I'm finding that sort of people are listening all over the place. Yeah.
Well,
I'm finding a lot of
terrific things. I love your level of activism, Karen Johnston. We may get cut off any moment, so why don't you say things that you would like to close with?
Well, I'd like to close I'm so incredibly grateful at having this opportunity, and that, you know, people don't give up, you know, like sort of the truth is the truth, and the evidence eventually presents itself, and the truth is that vaccines don't immunize, they are counterproductive, and they're incredibly dangerous, and eventually people will see that for themselves, like I did, and to not give up, and just to quietly chug along there, presenting information and sort of making information available to people, and eventually the truth will win out.
Perfectly put. Thank you, Karen. I would like to say that these are life-stealing vaccines, not life-saving vaccines. And if people were presented with that choice, the answer would always be no. It is the disinformation, yes. And Karen is trying to right that